The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yes! Go Cowboys!
This is Talkin' Cowboys. Streaming live from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
Handoff, Elliott plowing to the goal line. Barry, sacked by Lord. Prescott keeps it, and he bangs it into the touchdown.
And now, your hosts, Isaiah Standback, Patrick Walker, and Kyle Yeomans.
Hey, walk the guy with the 8-year-old daughter.
Oh, hey, we're here on Talking Cowboys. Welcome in to the SWBC studios at the Star in Frisco. It is a Talking Thursday here from the headquarters of the Dallas Cowboys. We're previewing the Dallas Cowboys and the Indianapolis Colts. It is week 13 of the NFL season. Alongside Patrick Nosey Walker, Isaiah Standback, we've got Chris Beam in the back. I'm Kyle Yeomans. Gentlemen, how we doing?
Fantastic.
It's a little frigid out there, Kyle.
A little bit of frigid.
Just for now.
It's okay.
Maybe frantic in here a little bit.
It's okay.
Just for now.
They're playing it indoor.
It'll bounce back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's supposed to be back in the 70s.
Is it?
Is it really?
It is supposed to be back
What's
in the
70s. What's the weather
70s
for this weekend?
It's supposed to rain on Sunday.
Oh, that's
Stop
just
it.
Freaking grand there.
Yeah.
Stop it.
We'll be back to...
Oh, I don't see any chance of rain on Sunday right now.
We'll be back to spring in
I saw
December.
That yesterday on my phone.
Oh, it changed up. Tomorrow.
I mean, look at it right now.
It
doesn't
have cloudy
it.
Now. Heck
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah, buddy.
So...
Don't trust it.
Pre-game live. Yeah,
don't you rain on our parade.
Don't you get that.
Texas weather. Don't yep. you trust it.
Pre-game live. If it's going to rain, we'll be inside the stadium.
Either way.
But if it's going to rain, we're going to be out. Or if it's not going to rain, we're going to be outside the stadium. So of course, pray for no rain
it's
on
not
Sunday.
Rain. Speaking,
it's not going to rain. It ain't raining. Rain. It's
nope.
not happening.
No, we
not working.
There. We need y'all there.
There you go.
We need y'all there with the signs and everything. We're turning up.
Each Talking Cowboys sign that you see will be one of two things. It would be one, a picture with Isaiah and myself. Mm. We will definitely take a picture. Patrick makes an appearance out there. Yeah. He'll take a photo as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I'll double down. How about we give a shout out of the person's name
Deal.
On the air?
Deal. Mm. So there's the second thing.
I like it.
The third thing, I
like
was going to say Isaiah would even sign your poster.
Mm.
He'll sign the poster.
Yeah,
how about that? Right?
Sharpie on dick.
You don't want our autographs, but Isaiah's actually means something.
Yeah,
no, so
he's a somebody.
No.
Yeah. But, we're looking forward to seeing you out at AT&T Stadium, pregame live, 2 p.m. Central Time. But get there early. Get in the plaza early.
Get my own security.
Yeah, you could get your own security out there. Thank goodness.
Your own security
Probably
detail.
Need some security detail, huh?
Yeah, I was say, that's one way to spin it. Your own security detail.
That's what it is. They want to protect you.
There you go.
You're a high-valued asset.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I could have made another joke there, but I didn't do it. All right. Let's do some news and notes because we've got to preview the Colts defense against the Cowboys offense. Dak Prescott and company looking to try and continue some of the success that they've had each of the last 2 days, and they'll try and do so after we saw the first injury report of the weekend yesterday.
So the Cowboys coming off of their mini bye, much needed mini bye, so they could get rest and recovery from that illness, that virus that had made its rounds here recently in the building. So their injury list is greatly reduced over it was a couple of weeks ago, but the illness bug has sank its teeth into Trevon Diggs and Michael Gallup. Mm. Both were DNP, which is did not participate on Wednesday. Both are expected to play, however. There's obviously plenty of time between yesterday and Sunday's game. So that's the silver lining, is that they both have plenty of time to rest and recover. But prepare for the possibility that one or both of them continue to be DNP this week as the Cowboys give them time to do just that. Anthony Barr, with his re-aggravated hamstring, made some progress. He was back at practice in a limited capacity. Jayron Kearse and DeMarcus Lawrence both joined him limited as well. Jayron Kearse obviously dealing with the shoulder injury, but he battled through that very same shoulder injury to amass nearly 60 snaps, 60 very effective and productive snaps against the New York Giants. And then, of course, a mini bye comes after that. He should be a little bit better. Spoke with Jayron on yesterday. Asked him, hey, you know, flat out, how are you feeling? Are you looking like you're a go for Sunday? And he said, I'm as good as I'm going to be in December. And he said, I'm going to do everything I can to fight through it. So, but it's to your point yesterday, Isaiah, in December, who is healthy?
Yeah, nobody.
All right, so Jayron Kearse sounds like he's going to be a go as long as there is no there are no setbacks. And DeMarcus Lawrence, same foot issue that he's been dealing with along with the other bad foot and the bad left knee and the bad right knee. And, you know.
I think D-Law's going to go, though, guys.
Oh, yeah, he's going to go.
I think he's going to play.
He's going to go. He's been going at this point. Flipping to the Indianapolis Colts, most notable would be obviously nickelback Kenny Moore II, who was did not practice an ankle injury suffered on Monday Night Football against the Steelers. It does not look like Moore is going to be able to go, especially on a short week, and that would be a massive loss.
Huge loss.
For the Colts secondary.
So. He did not look good in that game either. When he hobbled off the field, it was not pretty.
No, it wasn't good. If I'm not mistaken, did not they cart him back? He hobbled off the field, but I think he rode the cart back to the locker room.
You might be right.
I'm pretty sure he rode the cart back to the locker room. Not off of the field, but back to the locker room.
Yeah.
So if, in fact, he can't go, which is what it looks like, then a huge hole in the secondary of the Colts defense. But that's going to be news and notes for the day. Keep an eye on Michael Gallup and Trevon Diggs. As it stands, everybody on the Cowboys injury report is expected to play, I want to say with the exception of Anthony Barr, and the exception being – he did re-aggravate it recently. Let's just let his play out and see when he actually gets back on the field.
Because he re-aggravated it on that Saturday prior to the what was that game?
Vikings.
The Vikings game. Yep. Yeah, because he was going to go into his home or his former team. So, I mean, even with the mini bye, that's less than 2 weeks since he's aggravated that. So that doesn't surprise me that they want to take that slow.
Correct.
Is there a chance that he even pops up on the IR list, or is it a little too late for that by this point?
I don't think they put him on IR, not going into the month of December, because that would guarantee he's out for 4 weeks.
Correct.
And you, at that point, you wouldn't get him back until the end of December and then have to kind of – it wouldn't be a complete ramp-up process for the playoffs because he's played this season for the Cowboys, but he wouldn't be in top form by then. And they don't need the roster spot, particularly with the release of Terrell Basham a couple of days ago. James Washington's 21-day window got activated yesterday. So if they make that move on Washington, you got to see how Tyron Smith plays out effective next week. Bottom line is Cowboys don't need the spot. So there's no pressure to move Anthony Barr to IR. And they're just going to let it play out at this point.
So couple roster moves that will happen soon. I mean, they'll pull up some guys from the practice squad, but you don't anticipate anything happening this week with Washington being completely – or he's already been pulled up.
99.999% unlikelihood that Washington is going to be moved to the active roster.
Yeah.
Like, that's just – I don't see how that's fathomable. I said it yesterday, and my eyes would be on Takaris McKinley is on tack because they called him up. They elevated him from the practice squad on last the Saturday preceding Thanksgiving. But they registered him inactive. That still counts as a call-up. So I think that instead of playing that game – They're just going to go ahead and activate Tack McKinley. Now, we'll see if that happens this week, but that's what my gut tells me.
I like it.
I like it a lot.
I like it a lot.
Decepticon.
Get him back into the fold. If with us, I mean, we're going to preview the Cowboys offense here, but I do want to talk a little James Washington. Mm-hmm. Can he add something to this offense? What does he add if he is available and he is healthy?
I think he's a possession guy. He's a physical receiver if he's healthy.
How is that different from what you have already?
I think he is a more experienced Noah Brown.
Okay.
I'd probably put it like that.
Just in terms of games. I know they're probably the same age.
Yeah, same age, but in terms of reps and actual on-field, in-game receiver reps, catches, all that jazz, I think James Washington probably has the edge on that one. And so we've seen Noah Brown be effective. We know what he brings to the table when called upon. They haven't called upon him as of late, since Dak came up. They haven't called on him much. But I think that James Washington adds that element to it. I don't expect him coming back to be the same explosive guy that he once was. He was never utilized as that in Pittsburgh because of so many guys that were around him. But he possesses those capabilities. Here I foresee him being an inside guy that is a possession receiver. That gives you just another option.
And you know what I loved – absolutely loved about James Washington coming out of OK State was his ability to go up and attack the ball. In his time at OK State and even those in the athletic department, the fans at that point, there was a lot of Dez to be seen in his game at that point. The way he played, he attacked the ball violently, which kind of shades of Michael Gallup in that aspect. I think it would be interesting, and I agree with Isaiah. I don't foresee a situation where whenever Washington gets on the field for the Cowboys that he's instantly going to hit the ground running. I mean, this is a guy who needed some added time, added weeks to get over, to get past the mental part of it. And when he gets back at game in the game in that game speed, you're going to need more time to get back over that mental hurdle. But when and if he does get back to, you know, prime James Washington form, which is not what we saw in Pittsburgh, but I'm talking about what we saw at Oklahoma State, then it gives you a possession receiver who can also stretch the field.
Yes.
And that's going to make it a lot easier for Michael Gallup to then stretch the field, because that's one part of Michael Gallup's game that we haven't seen reappear just yet in his return in 2022. And I think it's because the Cowboys are – great evidence in, on Thanksgiving, they're using Michael Gallup as the possession receiver, mm-hmm. right? So if James Washington can come in and help in that capacity, it's going to free up Michael Gallup to kind of get down the field more. And then you can mix and match and say, okay, well, Gallup, this is your go route. But then next time you can say, okay, Gallup, this is your possession route. Mm-hmm. And, you know, James, this is your go route. And all the whole while you got CD doing CD things. So, you know, and of course, pink elephant in the room, Odell Beckham Jr. We'll see if the Cowboys can get him. But and to that point, before I toss it back to you, for those that are wondering, the activation of James Washington's 21-day practice window has zero bearing on the Cowboys' pursuit of Odell Beckham Jr. That is still very much a thing.
If anything, Odell Beckham Jr.'s signing would affect James Washington more than anything.
That is correct.
It would affect his role and how much he's utilized and where he would go if the Cowboys elected to go and sign Odell Beckham Jr. and vice versa. Odell Beckham Jr. elects to sign with the Cowboys because he does have other suitors, the Giants, the Bills, the Chiefs, all in that conversation. And, of course, the Cowboys have been the most talked about, one of them. But you also brought up Michael Gallup. And mm-hmm. I liked what I saw about from Michael Gallup on Thursday. You talk about using him as a possession receiver.
Oh, yeah.
He showed that again. He's got those clamps. He's got those hands. I mean, and he gave them to you Thursday. He caught those hands, right?
Yeah.
8 targets, 5 receptions, 63 yards, which is a season high in all 3 of those categories for Michael Gallup. When you watched the film, Isaiah, and you went back and you kind of looked at it, his yards per target was hefty down. I mean, it was heftily down. However, is that the new role that Michael Gallup could find in this offense to allow him to be utilized more?
I think it's how they're utilizing him. I don't think that Michael Gallup lacks any area of his game to be effective in any role that they put that they choose to utilize him in.
Even after the injury?
Even after the injury. Okay. I think he still has the ability to get down the field. I don't think that he has 100% confidence yet in that, but I think that he still possesses that ability. So as we talked about James Washington and him trying to come back, you know, I was in that same position coming off a foot injury. Like, it takes a minute. Like, you in practice and in training, like, these are all calculated steps. Everything that I'm doing is calculated. I might be doing it, quote, unquote, full speed, but I'm calculating how I'm going to put my foot down, how hard I'm going to press. In the game, it's instinctive.
Just got to play.
It's instinctive. And there's going to be something that you do in the game that's instinctive that you're like, oh, crap. And you do it, you're like, it didn't hurt.
Right.
It didn't hurt. And you're good, you know. You're like, okay, here we go.
A quarterback taking that first hit, absolutely, a running back taking that first hit
but
of the season.
You prove something to yourself,
yeah.
Right. And because you're not calculating anymore, now you're back to, you know, you're back to reacting, you're back to playing the game. So much like that, I think there's going to be something like that for Gallup, where he just goes out and he gasses on somebody. He's like, oh crap!
I don't think he's hit that
sixth gear yet.
Okay.
I don't think he's hit his sixth gear yet. I think he uses his 5, and his 5 is faster than most 6. So I think that once he's going to hit, there's going to be something that happens where he hits that sixth gear, and everybody's like, oh, crap. Right. There goes
right
MG.
Right now, the version of Gallup we're seeing is that possession guy with the big
clamps.
With
the freaking Lego hands.
And the ballerina toes. You saw what he did in Los Angeles against the Rams.
Yeah.
He's showing every aspect of his game that people had questions about.
Exactly.
Because coming into 2022, the big thing was, oh, well, he's just a go guy.
Yep.
Right? Okay, well, now you're seeing he can do everything, which I think sets the stage for him going back to being a go guy.
So his hands, what you were talking about, Kyle, the hands that he displayed, these were not chest catches.
Oh, no.
These weren't body cradles.
Snatch,
these
snatch,
dudes,
get me,
these
get
were
me.
Contested. catches with a doggone, you know, just, I don't even know, with these doggone little spider monkeys sitting on his back.
Yeah.
And he was snagging the ball, reaching away from his body, using his hands, being strong at the point of contact, being strong at the catch, and then reeling that thing in, shedding guys off him, running through guys. I mean, this dude was playing physical
ball.
So to you guys' point, that's what he showed. And what I'm saying is he's never lacked that. They just never called him to show that.
Right.
Right. They've never utilized him in that regard. So now they are. They're like, okay, you're our possession guy right now. Okay, this is where Dak's going with the ball in these situations. Oh, by the way, you can get down the field too. Let everybody forget about that. And there's going to be a time that we're going to see before the end of the season where he takes off on a go route and everybody's like, God, dog, I forgot.
There he goes.
Right. And that was because last season the possession – The role of possession receiver was split more so between Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb on any given rep.
Fair enough.
On any given rep, it was either Amari Cooper stealing somebody's ankles on a route, and there you go, you know, third down conversion. Mm-hmm. Or it was Cooper on a go route on that particular rep, and now CeeDee, it was the quick slant, the inside of the possession guy. Well, now, without Amari Cooper, CeeDee has had to become more of that outside guy, more of that get down the field guy, and that leaves Gallup to step up. Now, before Gallup returned, it was Noah Brown.
Yeah.
But now with Gallup back, it kind of moved to him. But you add another receiver, be it James Washington once he gets back to form, and or Odell Beckham Jr. once he gets back to form. And that just – it frees up Michael Gallup to get back on those go routes. But what should really terrify opposing secondaries when it comes to, you know, not just the Cowboys wide receiver group as a whole, but when it comes to Michael Gallup, is you've now seen – that he can do it all. Therefore, you can't just simply defend him as a nine route runner. Like, you have to defend him on the whole tree.
Yeah, he's got it all.
Yeah, you got to defend him on the whole tree.
Put some respect on him.
He's good at it all, too. That's one of the things about Michael Gallup.
Cook.
Coming out of Colorado State, he always had a diverse route tree. He had that initially.
Right.
The burst is something that he kind of continued to grow into and to kind of learn some of the route running ability that we saw from Amari Cooper during his time here, too. That certainly helped along the way as well. I'm excited to see Gallup hit that next gear because I think he has it. I really
do. Oh,
is there?
It's coming.
And Michael, or in conversations that you and I have had with Mike McCarthy, he thinks he has it too.
It's coming.
Mike McCarthy knows that there's something else down
the line.
You've
been warned.
Something else down the line with Michael Gallup. That extra gear is going to be there. Now, with that extra gear for Michael Gallup, who else could step up on that Cowboys offense and have an extra gear of their own? We're going to answer that question and a whole lot more, previewing the Cowboys offense versus the Colts defense when we come back with more Talking Cowboys presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far. With up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less, the satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
This week! Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Are you ready to take coffee off your grocery list forever? Black Rifle Coffee Club is here to help. As a coffee club member, you'll get your favorite coffees roasted, packaged, and shipped to your door free of charge on your preferred schedule. Set it, forget it, and never run low on coffee again. Members also get exclusive deals on coffee, products, and discounts from partner brands. Ease your mind and let Black Rifle worry about your coffee supply. Go to blackriflecoffee.com to join the coffee club today.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Give the gift of the Cowboys this holiday season with a Dallas Cowboys United membership. Gift your super fan an annual fan club membership and fan pack for as little as $20. Tis the season. Learn more at DallasCowboys.com/United. Back here on Talking Cowboys, it's an exciting week for Talking Cowboys, as always, because not only are we going to be out at the stadium on Sunday.
Can't wait.
Say hi to us. Bring if you're it. A Cowboys fan, if you're a fan of Talking Cowboys, if you follow us on Twitter, doesn't matter. Say hi. Come stop by, say hi. We would love to interact with you and love to have some fun with the fans out there because Isaiah and I don't get let out there often.
Yeah, they don't let us
It's like
out
training
there.
Camp and a couple times during the preseason. They don't let us out of the house.
They don't let us out of the cage too often.
No, it doesn't happen.
Playground on Sunday, huh?
Oh, yeah.
The playground.
Oh, man, it's a meet-up. It's like a meet-and-greet.
Merry-go-round.
Myself, yeah. Kyle, yeah. Haley, Mary, Nate. It's going down.
But not only is that happening on Sunday, but tomorrow we've got a big day because we're deciding the name of this Dallas defense.
That's right.
We're coming together. We're going to unite as a Talking Cowboys nation.
Yes.
And decide collectively.
Yes.
What's going to be the nickname?
Yes.
So
it's a lot of names to go through.
You and I, we all have homework to do.
Yeah,
I want you each. Here's what we're going to do. I want you to bring 30 names. I want you to narrow it down to 30 names. And then we're going to collectively tomorrow, we're going to find a top three from each of us. I want you to come in with a top three in mind.
Okay. Right. Fair.
Top three, and then we're going to debate out of those. But I want to read all the names. I want to read a bunch of them.
You know what I'm going to do?
What's that?
I'm going to send you guys a Google Drive document. And I want you guys to just throw them all on there. That way we can all see them.
I'll have them printed out for us. Okay. How about that? We'll have an Isaiah segment, a Patrick segment. They're not segment of the show.
We just throw them all on there. We just throw them all on there. The whole list of everything that we've received from the fans.
Okay.
Okay. And then we'll have our own little from us,
I like
from
this.
The three of us. We can just look and see what everybody submitted.
Mm-hmm.
And we can kind
that
of
is especially put, delicious.
Put the usernames on there too so we can say their names.
There you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
So make sure whenever we put the names on there.
I'll create the file.
If you have a nickname and you haven't submitted it yet, get it in there. Have an opportunity. We're going to pick a bunch of them. We're talking about it tomorrow on Say It With Your Chest Friday.
Especially delicious.
Can't wait. 9 a.m.
Juan
Central
Pablo.
Time. If you want to watch it live. All right. I just asked a question going into the break. Michael Gallup. You expect an extra gear out of Michael Gallup. Who on the offensive side, Isaiah, outside of MG, has that extra gear, that EG, little extra gear action, putting that NOS, that nitro.
That we haven't seen?
Hitting, no, yeah, that we haven't seen
serious now.
Peyton Hendershot.
Why is that?
Peyton Hendershot.
I like it.
Very talented, very explosive. Haven't seen it. Haven't seen it. We've seen it.
Take the top off.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look, hey, mm-hmm. A little McNasty to
oh,
it, right?
Shimmy.
Oh,
shimmy.
Oh.
All right. Shimmy, shimmy. Yeah, y'all, shimmy. Yeah, yeah, shimmy.
Y'all. He walks around like that. He has that dog in him. Yeah, I see you with the ODB.
Hey.
give him the rock. Give him the rock. He's a guy that give him the ball in his hand and watch what he does with it. And I think that he's going to play an integral role down the road. Down the road, when hopefully when playoffs present themselves, or hopefully if we continue taking care of business, playoffs present themselves, I think he's the guy that everybody's like, crap, shoot, we worried about these other cats, and here goes this dude, right? And I think that he's just that dangerous of a guy, and they're just keeping him quiet. They're just keeping him quiet, and I'm not keeping him quiet, but they're just
– Well, that's the thing. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Because as a rookie – don't you need those types of opportunities? And he's getting snaps. He had a 2-yard touchdown.
There's
run.
Four tight ends that are all being utilized.
Correct. Yeah.
This is not a typical team where you're using two guys, right? And the other guys are doing field goal protection and on the wings. All four of these guys are being utilized throughout the whole game, special teams and offense. Mm-hmm. And I think that he's just kind of gotten caught in the wash. And I think Kellen Moore, I would assume and I hope that Kellen Moore has some things, him and Linda Wells, has some things in the bag for a Hendershot.
They're already showing it.
Yeah.
It's starting to leak out.
Yeah.
You saw what happened against the Giants with that 2-yard handoff for
leaky
a touchdown.
Footage.
It's starting to leak out. And I love that you chose Peyton Hendershot, and I agree with that. But to not double down on it, let's keep it in the tight end room, though. I still don't think we've seen, and I agree wholeheartedly, but I still don't think we've even seen remotely what Jake Ferguson is capable of. I think Ferguson, much like Hendershot, not only can Ferguson stretch the field in space, good luck, right? You've already seen Ferguson steal some ankles. You've seen him hurdle.
Air Fergie.
Great Air Fergie, right? So he's hurdling guys. He's shaking guys. If you go back and look at what he did on the touchdown in Philadelphia, get the ball in his hands, he can do it in space. He can take it down the seam if you need, but he's also a solid blocker as well. I think we're just seeing things get started with Ferguson, but also with Hendershot, and then you combine those two together. Oh my.
There have been some fun tight ends as a part of the Cowboys organization in recent memory.
That 82 guy was...
He was pretty darn good, right? Jason Witten was fantastic.
He was pretty good.
But as a room, do you remember having so much excitement around? Yeah, individually, Jason Witten, Gold Jacket Witt for a reason.
No.
But as a group, have you ever been as excited about a tight end group in this Cowboys organization recently?
No, and I've beat the chair about it before. Linda Wells does not get enough credit.
He's a hell of a coach.
He does not get enough credit.
Damn good dresser,
Jim. Facts.
Shouts out to L.
Check the pregame fit every week. Damn every week.
The Cowboy, the black Cowboy hat that he's got on.
Clean as a whistle.
Crisp.
No, listen. You can't say enough. There's a reason why I bring this up. There are too many coaches in this league that get buried. Mm-hmm. There's too many coaches that, we talk about McCarthy, we talk about the defensive coordinator, we talk about Kellen Moore, but then you got to start talking about these positional guys.
Right. Yeah.
Right? You got to talk about the Skip Pete's of the world.
The Joe Philbin's.
Yeah, Joe Philbin, who's freaking used puzzle pieces to put together.
He knows everybody in this building, head to toe.
Yeah, right? He's put this offensive line together for a number of years, right? And then you talk about what?
Joe Philbin.
Yeah, including DeMarcus Lawrence. He knows everybody.
Yeah, according to D-Lo. Yeah.
inside joke.
But then you talk about Skip Pete. Everywhere Skip Pete's gone, he's had at least a 1-2 punch. Everywhere he's gone, he's had a 1-2 punch. Yes. The development of backs. Then you come here and you talk about Linda Wells. Name one team that has four tight ends that all contribute.
There's not one.
Right? And two of these guys weren't even.
And if anything, it would be one of those teams that you would say are offensive geniuses. They're next level thinkers. Yeah. It's like the Sean McVays or the Andy Reids of the world that are just next level guys. They're not getting that type of credit because you're utilizing these guys in such a fun way.
It's also not just the utilization, but the fact that you were developed enough talent and enough skills and contributions from each guy on your depth chart. All four guys on your roster at your position in your room are contributing and active every game.
And confident, too.
Oh, yes. And you can utilize them in every situation. You have four tight end formations where all these guys are on the field simultaneously. That is amazing in terms of the work that he's done to put these guys in position to be utilized. Because most other teams in this league have three guys active, two guys participate in two tight end sets, and the third guy is really on field goal block.
And they're still developing Seth Green in the practice squad.
I forgot he was even down there.
You know why? Because you have four guys ahead of him that are producing.
It's unheard of.
Yeah.
So, give him his freaking flowers, and kudos to him for keeping these guys, for getting these guys ready, because I don't think they were all ready at one point.
No.
Right? So
two rookies.
We just have this much talent in the room. No, this is development.
Two rookies, and McEwen was a developmental tight end prior
to now.
And battled injury McEwen did in 2021.
Yeah.
So, no, the answer is no. You could go back as far as you want to go back, and the answer is no. You're at best you'll find a dynamic duo at some point in the Cowboys' history when it comes to tight ends, and you will. But more often than not, especially in recent history, it's been who can complement Jason Witten, right? So it wasn't Martellus Bennett, unfortunately. It wasn't Fasano, unfortunately. And then the Blake Jarwin, Dalton Schultz thing was supposed to be a thing, but then injury completely derailed
and unfortunately,
potentially ended Jarwin's career. We'll see if he can ever make it back in the league.
Yeah.
So you come into the offseason and you're saying to yourself, well, you got Dalton Schultz on a franchise tag. That's a 1 year. Jarwin is out of the situation. What are you going to do? Well, Will McClay and Stephen Jones, they strap up and they say, okay, Jake Ferguson, fourth rounder, and then Pate Hendershot, which could have been a draft pick. He had draft pick talent, fell to the ranks of the undrafted. Cowboys get him, and Pate Hendershot told our beloved Haley Sutton on yesterday that the Chiefs were in on him, trying to get him as an undrafted free agent. So the Cowboys stole him from the Chiefs. Okay. And now you're in a situation where you went from having
Kelsey much?
Right. You went from having a tight end room with a massive question mark.
Yep.
to a tight end room that's one of the most lethal in the league, and we haven't even seen them scratch the surface of their potential yet. Crazy. This tight end room might be the differentiating factor in one or more of these potential playoff games.
No, you're great. That's a great point, because drafting Jake Ferguson, that was foreseen. Dallas, after they took their three picks in the first three rounds, you got a wide receiver, you got an edge rusher, and of course, you had the offensive tackle with Tyler Smith in the first round. After you got those three positions out of the way, the fourth round, you could have put, if you were a betting person, you could have put money it was a tight end. Mm-hmm. And heavy money. It was a tight end. It could have been anybody there. It really could have been. So Jake Ferguson, that selection that was made, was going to be anybody that's a tight end.
For sure.
And that was a high draft prospect. The steal of the offseason is Peyton Hendershot. And that's kind of what that goes back to your point of being the gear or having that extra gear. The fact that he's the steal of the offseason and he hasn't even put up stats yet shows just what he can do.
But I think people are forgetting that Schultz wasn't just didn't come in here developed either.
No, he didn't.
No, it took some time.
You know what I'm saying? It took some time spent at Kittle's tight end university.
Yeah. Well. I mean, but, you know, you got the coaches that obviously had a huge part in that. You know, I got offseason things, all that, all those things played a part in it. But you talk about somebody who wasn't even in a conversation of being one of the best in the league to all of a sudden having a breakout year to all of a sudden being franchise tagged. I mean, there's development that happens there. You don't
especially
just show
at the tight end
up. Yeah, especially
spot.
Not only position, all right, responsibilities blocking, run blocking, pass blocking, running routes, catching balls. They have more responsibility than everybody.
Yeah.
Think about the last time you had a rookie tight end take the world by storm. It really hasn't happened. Even some of the guys that are the top names, the Travis Kelce's, the George Kittle's, the Dallas Goedert's, the Zach Ertz, none of those guys were those guys as rookies. Look at some of the most recent guys, Kyle Pitts, Jelani Woods. I mean, Jelani Woods, you're going to see on Sunday. These guys have not been big-time players as rookies, but they still could be down the line. Pitts was the one exception, but even he wasn't living up to expectation either.
That's fair.
So with that being said, Pitts has been the exception in that regard. However, he still hasn't even hit the ceiling that he's expected to hit in Atlanta.
Won't until 23.
Yeah, because he's out for the season. So tight end-wise, this room is developing. There's talent there. There are places to go. And it takes me back to a conversation I had with Coach Wells in training camp. And I believe, Isaiah, you were sitting at the table. Yep. He's talking about the confidence. He's talking about the mindset that you have to instill on young tight ends. Mm-hmm. You got to be the first one to lay a hit. Mm-hmm. You got to be that one that initiates the physicality. That doesn't mean get a flag thrown on you. Yeah. That doesn't mean do something stupid, but it means show that type of grit and set the tone early, and these guys have done that, and they've opened up the passing game too.
And before you take us a break, Kyle, that what you're talking about, and I said it a gazillion times when the Dan Quinn conversation came up, was about culture. There's a culture for the Dallas Cowboys. Within that culture, right, that's the umbrella, the Dallas Cowboys culture. Then you have the Dan Quinn culture, Kellen Moore culture, right? Offense and defense, two totally different cultures, okay? And then within that, you have positional cultures, right? So you have to create the culture for your room. When your unit steps out there, they are now a representative of you and everything that you've put into them.
Science.
And all in this entire time. So not only are they representing the star on their helmet, not only are they representing the unit as an offense, right? But they are representing their tight end group. So when you see them do their celebrations, when you see them come out and they're that is Linda Wells and that entire room. That is their vibe that they're putting out. And anybody who wants to step foot in that room, guess what? You have to get on board with
it. So much fun.
Better bring that energy.
That's it.
So much when you're dealing with the tight ends. Really a fun conversation, and you had a little bit of time as a tight end as well, so you know the type of responsibilities.
Brief.
You know the responsibilities that
Isaiah
are
was like,
be had.
Get me out of here.
Mercedes get me back to the quarterback room.
Mercedes was like, block that 300-pounder. I'm like, no!
Get me out of here.
All right, when we come back, let's take a look at the Colts' defensive side of things. Are they still dangerous with guys like Yannick Ngakoue on that defensive side of the football, and where can they challenge the Cowboys' offense? When we come back, more Talking Cowboys presented by Black Rifle Coffee right after this.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Black Rifle Coffee Company serves premium coffee to people who love America. When you drink Black Rifle Coffee, you are directly supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders in your community. Black Rifle's expert roasters love coffee almost as much as Texas loves football, so it makes sense that America's Coffee partnered with America's team. Go online at blackriflecoffee.com and fuel up with the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. That's blackriflecoffee.com to fuel up today.
Lil Sweet! Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
Want to use what the pros use? How about the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys? Jack Black. Right now you can get the Jack Black Starter, a curated collection of Cowboys locker room favorites for just $10 with free shipping. The starter includes four Jack Black skincare favorites plus a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Go to getjackblack.com/cowboys and use the code word TEAMJB. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys. The Jack Black Starter, $10, free shipping.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Experience the most electrifying event of the holiday season, the Cowboys Christmas Extravaganza, powered by Reliant. Every Friday and Saturday through the December 17th, and I'm messing this read up all over the place. This first, they changed it up on me, and it's like a change up in baseball. I just started sipping it. Every Friday and Saturday night through December 17th, Cowboys Christmas Extravaganza ignites the star in Frisco with an unforgettable holiday performance showcasing the world-renowned Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders, your favorite Dallas Cowboys football heroes, and Santa Claus, too. Visit thestardistrict.com/Christmas for more info. That's the Cowboys Christmas Extravaganza powered by Reliant. Sorry I messed that up, everybody.
It's okay, my friend.
It's okay.
The lion would not bother you.
We'll get it. There have been a lot of lion suggestions for
your
the
next
nickname,
rep
by the way.
Be a touchdown. Yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah, it'll be a great touchdown.
Your next rep is a big-time throw.
We've got Chris Beam in the back, Patrick Nosey-Walker, Isaiah Stanback, final segment, Talking Cowboys. I'm Kyle Yeomans. Gentlemen, let's take a look at the Colts defense. Isaiah, when you've been looking at the film from Indy, what do they bring to the table that Dallas might struggle against? Most likely to struggle against. Let's say it that way.
I would say this defensive line is going to test the offensive line of ours.
Okay.
From the standpoint of, you see a lot of Dan Quinn. It's so funny. It's so funny that I brought up the relationship between Gus Bradley and Dan Quinn and how they, you know, they're from the same tree, or Dan Quinn's from his tree, really, when you go back into history. And you see a lot of it. You see a lot of these things like, man, how the heck is he getting these matchups? Well, freak, that's the same thing that we see with Dan Quinn. So is it, maybe it's the other way around. How is Dan Quinn getting these matchups? But you see how he's able to line up Gus Bradley, that is, his defense alignment, to create these one-on-one matchups at the defensive end position so that he could take advantage of his big dogs out there. Because he has some guys.
Yep.
He got some dudes, you know.
I want to talk about that D-line because I mentioned Yannick Ngakoue.
Yeah.
They've also got Grover Stewart, who's been playing really well in the interior this year. DeForest Buckner, former top 10 pick.
Absolute dude.
Absolutely. I mean, he's the number 11 ranked defensive lineman according to Pro Football Focus. Don't always look at the grades, but he's been playing well. And then Kwity Paye, who some of you might remember from the draft show a couple years ago. He was a potential target. He was a guy that the Cowboys looked at pretty heavily. But as an edge rusher out of Michigan, he went later in the first round, and you drafted this guy named Micah Parsons. So everything worked out for you, but those are the four guys up front. And Ngakoue, Stewart, Buckner, and Paye, like you said, they've got some pieces.
And he's doing a good job of aligning them properly so that the interior three guys, the center and the guards, get consumed, right? Because you have to respect Buckner. I mean, you just have to, otherwise he'll freaking tarnish you, right? Damage you.
Oh boy.
So he's doing a good job of making those three interior linemen squeeze, and he is isolating the crap out of these tackles. So Tyler Smith, strap up, buddy, because Ngakoue is going to be over your head, right? And I think we're going to be – if we're going to be challenged in any regard, it's going to be there, because I think that they don't blitz a ton, but they add a lot of pressure, and they do a good job of restricting and condensing the pocket offensively for the Dallas Cowboys. They're going to really stress us in that regard.
Well, it's because they couldn't afford – with the secondary they have, and, you know, Stephon Gilmore notwithstanding and Kenny Moore notwithstanding, with the secondary they have, they couldn't afford to send an extra guy. And especially from the linebacker core neither, because Shaquille Leonard is on IR. And that is a massive hole in the middle of that Colts defense. Mm-hmm. Shaquille Leonard is missed. If Shaquille Leonard is on the field against Philadelphia, that Red Sea doesn't part late in the fourth quarter that allows Jalen Hurts that walk-in touchdown. So that's something to exploit there is the center of that linebacker core with Leonard gone for the season, potentially for the season, likely for the season. But – for me, all eyes have to be on a guy like Ngakoue. All eyes have to be on DeForest Buckner. Kwity Paye might be slowed even if he does play. He was out on Monday night with an ankle injury, and he was limited on yesterday's injury report. So he's dealing with that ankle issue, might not be 100%. So a little bit of a weak link there. But for the most part, that defensive front for the Colts, that's going to be their – that's their cash cow. That's their money pot.
Yep.
They don't take the ball away at a high rate. You know, they have one interception as the team high between three or four different guys. So they're not taking the ball away in the air. And then you lose, like I said, you lose Kenny Moore as your nickel corner. Massive loss there. So for me, if the Cowboys can win up front, the Cowboys offense wins this game fairly easily.
I completely agree in that regard. And you mentioned the middle of that Colts defense. I really like what I've seen from EJ Speed in the film that I've watched a little bit.
He's not Shaq.
Let's not get it twisted. However, I mean, he's a DFW product. He went to North Crowley High School, and then for all of you Tarleton Texans out there, you probably remember Mr. EJ Speed, drafted in the fifth round, a guy who's kind of been under the radar for the Colts for a little bit, but now he's getting a chance to kind of fill in and plug that gap. But it's because of the pressure up front. It's because of that defensive line kind of clogging the way that he's been able to roam freely and play well. But I also want to talk about the secondary. They may be missing more, but they've got a guy on the other side named Stephon Gilmore.
That's why I said Stephon Gilmore notwithstanding.
You got to talk about him. And then also Rodney McLeod. He's a good safety, good player. Julian Blackman. They've got some pieces there defensively.
And they're confident with it. I mean, you think about the old Seattle. Okay, I know we talk about Dan Quinn. We talk about the old Seattle. If you talk about the old Seattle, you have to talk about Gus Bradley. And what he wanted to do. What did he do? He had pressure up front, right? He played man coverage.
And that's what they do
here.
That's
exactly what they do. So in terms of winning up front, like you mentioned, OC, if you win up front, you have a chance. If you struggle up front, these guys are going to be in your hip pocket and everything's going to be contested.
Right. Extend the coverage windows. Be it Stephon Gilmore or whomever, I'll say Gilmore notwithstanding, because I've seen him be able to hang with the best. But if you extend these coverage windows against these Cowboys receivers by way of dominating in the trenches against Ngakoue and these other guys, you're asking a whole lot of that Colts secondary to keep up with CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup and hell, even Noah Brown and these four tight ends that we're talking about for three and a half seconds. The Colts secondary, to me, in looking at their film, they're only as successful as the shortage of time in coverage is. So the shorter the time in coverage, the more dangerous they can be.
Yeah.
As far as PBUs are concerned, they're still not showing me they can take the ball
away. That's why they're so dependent on pass rush.
Correct. But without that pass rush, those coverage windows start to expand, and they can be exposed in that capacity. So it circles right back to the initial point, which is what Isaiah is saying, and I agree. You have to win the trenches. Tyler Smith, strap up. Connor McGovern, strap up. Tyler Beattis, strap up. Zach Martin, hey, you know, you're Zach. Do what you do. Terrence Steele, continue to be that road grader in the run defense and effective in the pass. But here's the big thing, and we talked about it this week, and we're going to keep talking about it until further notice. Penalties. No pre-snap penalties. These guys are going to come after you, and you just know it, and they're really good at rushing the passer, but don't let that get you out of your self-discipline when you're talking about young guys like Tyler Smith and Connor McGovern and, hell, even Terrence Steele, who's been fairly clean for most of the season in the penalty front. But don't go getting into a false start situation. Don't get into holding situations. Just play clean, disciplined football. Hold your feet. Hold your anchor. Keep your hands where they need to be. and let Dak Prescott in this run game set you up for victory.
Yeah, Mike McCarthy talked about that a little bit yesterday, and he was asked about the penalties. How do you work on that in the middle of a season?
Right.
Really, it's discipline. I mean, that's what it boils down to, is getting the discipline there to make sure that you're in the right place at the right time, you know what's going on, and that way you are able to execute. It's been fun looking at this matchup, but I think tomorrow's going to be even better. How about that, guys?
Oh, yeah.
We've got Say It With Your Chest Friday. We're picking a nickname. We're picking some games. We're going to update the standings, and then we're also going to choose what this Dallas defense is going to be called for the rest of time.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
For all time.
We're setting some trends here on Talking Cowboys. We're going to come to a conclusion.
The file's created. You guys have it in your inbox.
Oh, good.
I've already opened it.
Very nice.
I'm good.
I've already started typing.
Proactive.
Yeah. How about that?
Gotta one up me.
Chris Beam in the back for Patrick Nosey Walker, for Isaiah Stanback. I'm Kyle Yeoman saying so long. Special thanks to our friends over at Black Rifle Coffee Company. We'll see you tomorrow with Say It With Your Chest Friday on Talking Cowboys.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!